There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, our daily podcast bringing together the best bits of today's show from Thursday, November the 28th. We are talking retail and festive retail as well because the countdown to Christmas has begun. We're going to find out what it means for Spinnies.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 brothers running,
11 brothers hiding,
10 lords are leaping, 9 ladies dancing,
8
ladies dancing, 7
Because we're a bit obsessed with advent calendars and a present for every day of the week. So we've brought in a man who's selling the posh ones. Morn Ferrore is the general manager of marketing at Spinnies in Dubai. He is here to talk Christmas trees and novelty chocolate. Let's start, though, by talking about advent calendars.
Yeah.
Mux and I discovered the luxury ones last year and we haven't looked
So we've obviously, I mean, for us at Spinnies, we not only do we bring the fresh Christmas trees and everything else in, but we advent calendars is really one of those things that's just beautiful to tee up Christmas, to create the anticipation. We have got a crazy range. I mean, what is available globally is insane. So I think one of the things we were talking about is we've got a cheese advent calendar, so which is really, really exciting, which has got a whole bunch of different cheeses in that you can open if you're not a chocoholic. But for the chocolate ones, I mean, everything from what Lindt does, what Ferrero Rocher does, what all of that, everyone has got their own advent calendar, ranging from, I don't know, 6 dirhams for an advent calendar to 120, 150 dirhams an advent calendar.
Do you have any idea of how many of these you'd sell? I mean, what's the market like?
The market is really, really quite crazy. I mean, we've got them actually displayed in our biggest stores on 4 or 5 ends. So I'm expecting, I mean, we would be selling on the other side across the range of 80, 90,000 in the UAE. Which would be really substantial if you were looking at all the different kinds.
You should see Richard's face.
No, Richard's face is quite impressive. But, I mean, we are now talking about from the cheapest versions in Cadbury's and Mars and at 6 dirhams, which it becomes a chocolate snacky that somebody might open all of them just about in one go.
Yeah.
All the way to the anticipation of a beautiful Lindor ball that I can open on the 24th.
So this is your lead-in to Christmas. What does Christmas mean financially to Spinnies as a whole?
For us, it's a substantial part of the year. It's our second biggest trading period after our Ramadan period earlier in the year, or at the moment earlier in the year. So it's for us, I mean, Spinnies has always been associated with occasions and festivities and beautiful food when people want to bring friends together and create that heavily laden table. So the festive season, Christmas, plays perfectly into that. I mean, we partnered with Waitrose and those guys. So the kind of product and product availability that we've got is very, very UK, is very Western Europe for the Christmas market. And we've seen it grow incredibly in the region.
That's exactly what Brandon just said. We noticed it last year, really, the rise in this. Is it a trend that has been orchestrated by retailers? I guess it must have done. But how convenient is this new fad for advent calendars for people like yourself? I mean, it fills a nice gap in sales between Halloween and Christmas.
Well, we can't complain. So yeah. Of course it does. So it does create and generate some earlier sales. But it's quite interesting. I mean, advent calendars, we find, sell pretty well all the way till about the 10th of December. So it's not that like people, oh my goodness, I've missed it for the first or the second.
People after that, they're in the discount bin.
Exactly. Yeah. And there will be a couple of days before Christmas, we'll have a few of them in the discount bin. But it's more, I mean, people are just too happy to buy that advent calendar and shove those first 5 chockies in their face very quickly just to catch up and make sure that you then create the anticipation for tomorrow. But it does fulfill a very, very good gap.
Let's throw some numbers in there. Give us some ideas of the size of Christmas at Spinnies. And what some of your biggest sales areas are?
So we've kind of said a second biggest trading period of the year for us. Our Christmas is for us very much into three major sections, massive and confectionery, as one would expect, because it's your longer shelf life, it's your chocolates, it's your biscuits, it's those kind of beautiful things. Huge for us now in decorations and things like our Christmas trees. I mean, I know on the station you've picked up on it, our Christmas trees that we brought fresh from Denmark and that everyone's been tracking them on the sea, and you can go onto the website and see they've now arrived in
the
UAE.
No, I did not know this.
You could. We put trackers on Christmas trees. So they've all arrived last week, fresh Christmas trees from Denmark. We're going to sell, I think we've ordered about 2,500 of those we are now selling through the stores. They're available in the stores. You can buy them in different sizes. And they are real Christmas trees. And we've got actually three trackers on the different ones. If you actually buy the tree, you can't see the tracker. We'll activate the trackers the week before Christmas. And we then know where they are. And if you find the tracker on your tree, we can... Christmas is on us.
Okay, GDPR.
We're literally going to rock up. Well, we wanted to, but Dubai aviation regulations and stuff like that's a bit hectic. We wanted to fly in with a chopper and the 4x4 and rock up and bring you the turkey and redo your house, but it's close to that.
Just expand on that. Christmas is on you, because to be honest with you, I have pretty expensive Christmas tastes, and I would love you to pick up the bill. To be honest with you,
I think we.
How big are these things?
I think. Well, I mean, what we're doing is the entire Christmas meal. It's a 5,000 dirham prize. Yeah. And I mean, it's everything from turkeys to gifts to decorations to make sure that your house looks uncomfortably Christmassy.
Uncomfortably Christmassy. Numbers, Maureen, give me numbers.
So we're looking from a sale and from an increase point of view at about a 10% growth in Christmas this year. That's our expectation. That's already how we've been tracking. So all our orders and things like that we bring in. I mean, we spoke about the advent calendars. We'll be selling on the other side of 100,000 mince pies. Going into Christmas. So that's the other part, is fresh and confectionery. So our freshly baked goodies, obviously, are our mince pies, the Waitrose mince pies, those things. But then we've also got in turkeys, both frozen that people buy beforehand, and we've got beautiful fresh ones coming in 2-3 days just before Christmas.
Mornay Faria, the general manager for marketing at Spinneys Dubai. Thank you.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Massive focus on retail at the moment around the world, especially so here in Dubai, because a new 1.2 billion dirham mall will open in Dubai. It is on the Palm Jumeirah. It is the Nikhil Mall, and joining us in the studio is the Managing Director of Nikhil Malls, Omar Khoury. Omar, thanks for joining us. So tell us, why is now the right time in Dubai, when retail is a little bit soft in the city, to say the least, why is now the right time to be opening a new mall?
Well, Nikhil Mall have been on the plan and on the master plan of Palm Jumeirah since beginning. And everyone living in the island or tourists which are visiting the island are looking forward for this development to open for the last couple of years. It's a new addition to the island and new addition to the city with a lot of offering to offer the visitors.
You run all of Nikhil's malls, things like Ibn Battuta, Dragon Mart, and many others as well. So you're well aware of the dynamics in the retail market here. Lots of reports tell us that there is oversupply in terms of retail space at the moment. How have you gone about letting space in a mall like Nikhil Mall when there is oversupply in the market? Has there been downward pressure on rents? What can you tell us about occupancy levels?
All our malls actually are built within our communities. So we build a strong infrastructure basically of around our malls, which feed these malls with visitors and shoppers. Ibn Battuta, for example, is surrounded with a huge community, a residential community around it, and occupancy levels are at about 97% currently. Right, we have some shops that close and new ones open. But this is the dynamic of the market. With regards to Nikhil Mall, we are leased about 75%, and we are opening with about 50% opening stores today.
Well, one of the ones that's opening is Spinney's. We were speaking to Mornay Furry from Spinney's earlier. This is what he's saying about opening in your mall.
It's really, really exciting for us this morning. So at about 9:30, we'll be opening our new next generation Waitrose store. A beautiful new look in line with fresh from the UK. And lovely things like self-checkout, a whole bunch of convenience, different things. But this store it'll be our biggest Waitrose store in the UAE.
To what extent is this mall aimed at the 78,000 people who live permanently on the Palm and all the people in the hotels? And to what extent is it one of these kind of regional or super regional malls that's going to be a magnet for people in Abu Dhabi and Sharjah and beyond?
So what's unique about Nakheel Mall, it will have a lot of entertainment offerings, which actually service the residents of the Palm and the visitors to Dubai as well. One more element that is Nakheel Mall will be special with is the viewing deck, which will be opening early next year, quarter one of next year. Basically, today we are building a platform at 230 meters high that visitors of Dubai can view the whole island from the top. So this is a unique project that will be part of the mall that will drive a lot of tourism to the development.
The Palm Jumeirah was opened in the middle of 2001. It was built by Nakheel. I suppose for me the question is not a surprise that you're building it now. It's why it's taken so long.
Well, it's planning it took some time. And basically we had a lot of deliverables within the island, especially the hotels and certain infrastructures to be completed in order for the mall to be ready to receive the number of visitors that it will be receiving today.
In terms of how you differentiate your malls, there are so many now in town and some of the world's best shopping malls. How do you do that? For example, you've got not just this mall opening now, there's another one on Al Kail Road that looks like it's nearing completion. And then down in Deira, in an older part of town, you've got the night market, which again, you know, looks like it's pretty much near completion. How do you make sure that these aren't just cookie cutter, another shopping mall, but they've actually got something that's going to tempt people?
Well, each project has its own DNA, and a different type of offering depending on what it's surrounded with. For example, Al Khair is actually surrounded with a huge community. A lot of it is built by Nakheel. Night market basically is built in the old part of Dubai, which is trying to bring the souk element to that development. And let's call it an Asian twist, especially that night markets are known in Asia. But we are bringing that idea with an Arabian offering.
Have you got one of those spectacular centerpieces that malls tend to have nowadays? You've got, Ibn Battuta with that wonderful architecture. Well, what's the sort of drawing power for somebody who doesn't necessarily want to shop but wants to come to a destination?
Yes, basically, Nakheel Mall is having a lot of, as I said, entertainment elements, which will drive a lot of kids and families. The architecture inside basically is different than any other mall. It has a lot of natural light into the mall. It has a direct access by public transport or the monorail, basically.
Is it actually at the monorail station?
Yes. Actually, we are for the opening, basically. And for the next 3 months, we are offering free journeys to Nakheel Mall using the monorail, which is actually connected to the tram.
Is there enough parking at the sort of the shore side of the Palm for people to get on the metro?
We have about 4,000 car parks at the monorail station at the beginning of the Palm.
Yeah.
And we have about 4,500 car parkings also within the mall.
Omar, great talking to you. Appreciate your time. Omar Khoury is the Managing Director of Nakheel Malls. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Talking retail, because today Landmark Group, one of the biggest retailers in the region, famous for things like Splash and Baby Shop, is opening a 1 billion dirham robotic logistics centre right here in Dubai in the Jebel Ali Free Zone. Joining us to tell us all about it is the Chief Supply Chain Officer at Landmark Group's retail division, Mihin Shah. Mihin, good to see you.
Thank you for having me here.
So you're ex-McKinsey with an MBA from INSEAD. Tell me the strategy behind a billion dirham logistics centre.
So you see, the retail landscape is quite changing. We are one of the largest volume retail operators in the region. And as the demands for the consumer are changing, you know, expectations of the consumer are changing, it's important for us to actually make our supply chain a lot more agile, flexible, and with high speed to be able to deliver to the changing demands. Whether people want to buy stuff from our store, whether people want to buy stuff from online, it's important for us to now maintain speed and agility. And that's basically the reason why we put this phenomenal investment that makes us actually ready for the future.
So it's billion dirhams. I mean, it's whiz bang. It's got robots. It's got solar panels on the roof. 50% of the power is coming from solar energy. But a billion dirhams is a big investment, even for a company of Landmark size. And we know that retail has been soft, not just here, but throughout the region for the past 2 or 3 years or so. Why did you decide that even despite that softness in retail, you were going to go ahead with such a big investment when many organizations in retail are cutting costs and they're cutting staff?
It is indeed a large investment, even for a group like Landmark. For us, it is the single largest investment. And not only for us, I think it's probably the largest investment that anyone's ever made in the region in a distribution center. But if you look ahead, you know, our Landmark Group family, board members and our teams, we're very visionaries. We are very clear. We see what's coming in the future. As we need to kind of move volumes off our scale with speed and agility, this was almost a necessity to be ready for the future. This actually allows us to now move goods at scale. If I tell you a little bit about the DC, it's actually not only
the DC,
large.
The Mega DC is the Mega Distribution Center, which is a very cool name.
That's it. Yes, exactly. You know, we've stopped calling it warehouses anymore and we call it distribution center because that's what they essentially are. And the Mega DC is actually mega. Yeah, as you would have now heard in, from various sources. It is the single largest under one roof warehouse. It's tallest structure. It's got various firsts, several engineering marvels. For example, we have a fully robotic pallet handling high bay warehouse, which is 43 meters high, the highest warehouse structure in the region. And that is completely unmanned. So what we did for fire protection is instead of actually putting things like sprinklers, we've taken the oxygen out because it's unmanned. No humans need to enter it. So actually you can never have a fire. So there's a lot of such very interesting engineering marvels, but it's not the engineering marvels for which we built this. As I said earlier, we've actually built this so that we can get our stocks to the right place, right from the source into the customer's hands. How do we get it faster and better was the whole motive behind it.
Let's have a chat about some of that automation because that's fascinating. If you've put in a fire system, the hypoxic system that doesn't have oxygen, what happens if someone needs to go in there and fix something?
So the oxygen levels are actually at 12-13%, so which is way lower than what we usually have. It's almost like being in high altitude. So humans can actually enter inside and be inside for some time. If you need to do some heavy lifting work, then you would need to carry some special equipment. But essentially, you just can't light a fire inside.
What will this automation be doing and what's it actually saving you in terms of jobs? How many people have you not had to hire because you've automated?
So let me tell you a little bit first about what the automation does for us. So what this does is it gives us the flexibility. The DC is fully automated. So essentially you get the containers coming in from wherever in the source parked at your docks. And as you offload, after you offload, the system takes care of it of what you need to send where. And it gives us the ability to actually interchangeably handle pallets, whether goods are coming on pallets, cartons, pieces, individual pieces, or even garments on hanger interchangeably. You can bring in pallets, send out cartons, bring in cartons, send out eaches in whatever combination required. And that's what is actually the beauty about it. For us, the challenge has been not really job loss or anything like that. The challenge has been how do we really upskill our people to work in a completely different environment than what they've been, able to used to. And actually, that's what, while we were building the DC, we were also busy doing, because operating a manual warehouse is a very completely different skill than operating an automated warehouse. In the automation, the system, the intelligence behind it all really takes care of it. You simply have to follow instructions. And the beauty behind it is that the intelligence actually allows you to flexibly manage the goods. People don't really have to manage the goods. The intelligence behind the system does.
So how does this impact what happens in your stores? Because ultimately, what Landmark is about for the retail division is selling more stuff, whether it's Home Center for home furnishings, whether it's Emax for electronics. I'm looking on splashfashions.com, which is the e-commerce site for one of your fashion brands. How is this going to make it more efficient for you to sell what I'm looking at with t-shirts from 15 dirhams, for example?
As I said, the market demand of what the consumer wants is becoming volatile, and we have a, you know, we have to predict in advance of what kind of products we need to put in the store. What the DC gives us is the ability to delay that prediction and say that, you know, we don't have to make really advanced predictions of which thing needs to land up in which store at what time. With this, we can actually take very last minute decision of what is it the customer wants, what is actually going off the shelves, and can we get it in the customer's hand fast.
Mehin, really appreciate you joining us. Chief Supply Chain Officer at Landmark Group's Retail Division. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast. Newsmakers.
The movers and shakers shaping your world.
Today's newsmaker, very sadly, is the news that's rocking Dubai's culinary world. British celebrity chef and long-term Dubai resident Gary Rhodes has died here in Dubai. He was 59 years old, according to a statement from his family. Rhodes passed away on Tuesday with his wife Jenny by his side. It said the Rhodes family are deeply saddened to announce the passing of beloved husband, father and brother Gary Rhodes, OBE. Now, the team at Grosvenor House Dubai and Le Royal Meridian Beach Resort and Spa, where he has restaurants, have also paid tribute, saying not only has the industry lost a true culinary legend, we have also lost an inspirational human being and a very dear friend. Now, he was in the studio here on the Business Breakfast multiple times. And guys, he wasn't just a great guest. He was just a good bloke, wasn't he? Just a nice person to have around.
We met him in the studio. We met him out at Theatre by Rhodes, where he helped me put a model of an Emirates A380 together. And he was a generally good guest, wasn't he, Brandy?
You two bonded over pudding. You argued over scones.
We did.
More of which very, very soon. But first, this is him, Gary Rhodes. Because he's a restaurateur, a businessman, as well as a chef. This is Gary Rhodes talking to us about Dubai's restaurant scene and what he makes of it.
In the days when I first got involved here, which was back in 2007, in fact, I started coming to cookery events many years before that, but it was in 2007 when we opened. It was called Rhodes Mezzanine at that time at the Grosvenor House. Now, there weren't that many restaurants, but you had a mass audience. You know, and it was those days when we were filling that restaurant every single night because there weren't that many kind of fine dining restaurants to choose from. You had a Gordon Ramsay restaurant and not much else. So, you know, it was lively, it was exciting. But if you think now, I mean, here we are, what, 11 years later, and there are endless hotels, endless restaurants to choose from. I mean, we opened ours even before Petit Maison and all these others appeared on the scene. So it was quite exciting for us because it was a new feature. People wanted to come and try, but that has actually slowly but surely become thinner and thinner. So I think it's a very, very difficult market. Every single year now, I hear about new restaurants opening, and then you can often find 18 months, 2 years down the line, they no longer exist. And there's many that just can't keep that pace up. I'm glad to say we're still open. We changed the name of the restaurant now to Rhodes W1. We've still got Rhodes 2010. And the good thing is the business is enough to keep us ticking over. I'd certainly like it to be busier, but then wouldn't every chef today? You know, so it is a very, very difficult market. And I do feel for many who come and sort of put their all into this and they dedicate themselves to it. And then sadly, the customers aren't knocking on the door.
And he also settled a debate for me particularly, and also all Devon and Cornish people, because the scones debate is something that rages around the world, whether you put jam or cream on first. And this is what Gary Rhodes thinks.
Well, there is no debate, is there? Let's be honest. The only thing you can do is put that jam on first. You have to put the jam on first.
This is the Cornish way.
But then the dollop of the cream on top. Divine. What more do you want?
If you put it the other way around, you put the jam and it squirts all over the place.
It's just rolling off the cream. It's not quite right. It makes a mess all over your chin, and who wants that?
And that did go viral in the UK, didn't it?
Dawn French apparently picked up on it and commented as well. It's just astonishing, really, how a little thing like that can pick up traction.
Of all the things in Gary Rhodes' 59-year-old life and the wonderful career and the Michelin stars and the restaurants and the fame and the celebrity and the TV programmes, we remember him in the Dubai Eye studio for Scongate.
Thanks for listening. You can catch us Sunday morning, 6 a.m.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.